Hi everyone. Today we'll be reading from First John chapter 2 verses 18 through 25. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. So in this passage, there's this very fun topic of Antichrist or Antichrist. And so in our minds, we probably have some different interesting ideas or pictures of what the Antichrist or what an Antichrist might look like. Now, I think we may typically think of the Antichrist as being basically like the devil or some super evil person. And we get some of those ideas maybe from the book of Revelation or just from stuff we see in culture or within from other people from the church. Now, here in this passage, though, John talks about Antichrist, and Antichrist here are not some apocalyptic figure. I mean, it is ish, but not really. He has a much simpler and more basic kind of picture or definition of an Antichrist. And in verse 22, he says, this is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. It's very simple. It's anybody who denies God, who denies Jesus. Now, in the first half of this passage, John gives details about these antichrists of his time, of this time. And it seems that these people he calls antichrist, he says that they went out from us, meaning they were part of the church community before. And in verse 19, this is where he says they went out from us. He says that they would have continued with us, right? If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And this implies that they were at some point with them. They were with the church community, if you will, but they left. John here is talking about people who are part of this early church community, but they left from them. And it seems it's not like they physically just left like for a different city, but they left forsaking Jesus. And I think that's an important thing to recognize here is that like he talks about these people who he defined in verse 22, again, Antichrist is people who deny the Father and the Son. But it seems that he is actually saying more specifically, these are people who deny Jesus specifically as the Christ, deny Jesus being the Son of God as God himself. And we see this in verses 22 and 23, right, where perhaps maybe some of his audience, they were Jewish, we don't really know, and maybe they had seen other Jewish Christians abandon the way of Jesus, and they're forsaking Jesus, perhaps thinking that they still had God, the Father. What John is saying here is no, that you can't do that. If they deny Jesus, they also deny the Father as well. And so if people deny Jesus, is what he's saying, they are antichrists. They do not belong to the truth. Now, how do we think about this passage in our context today? Because this is pretty extreme language, right? Antichrist, right? That's pretty extreme. And like one question we might have, like, does this mean every person who stops going to church is an antichrist or the antichrist? I think we should bring some nuance into this. Now, first, to be clear, we don't need to be in the business of labeling people as antichrists, right? And even if we could be, I don't think that's exactly productive for us here. So let's make that clear. Let's not be in that like mode of labeling people like that. But second thing, and probably the more nuanced part here, is that just because someone denies Christ today, it doesn't mean that's permanent, right? It doesn't mean that they will deny Jesus later on. Maybe they will follow Jesus later on. And I think one contextual thing that we need to keep in mind here is that we need to think about the time period of the early church. And that time period is very different from today, right? In that to become a follower of Jesus then, at that point, was a much more extreme or a binary proposition, right? And by that I mean, so like today, we can be pseudo-Christian, right? We can be in this wider range of maybe, sort of, potentially, possibly-ish, I grew up a Christian following Jesus kind of thing, right? That's just the reality of where we're at. That's not necessarily healthy, but that's just where we are. But back then, it was much more extreme. And the example that I often think of is with Jewish people, right? A lot of the early church was Jewish. That's how it started, at least. And for a Jewish person to follow Jesus, he would have to essentially forsake his family, forsake his entire culture. A Jewish man back then couldn't be half Christian. He would have to go all in because his own family would basically disown him. That's what it would be, right? That's what it would be like. And I think today, maybe more the example that, again, most of us can't relate to this, would be basically to be an Arab Muslim and to deny their culture and their faith is a lot more extreme than would be for us in this nation. And to think about it, to be all in like this for a Muslim person today, an Arab Muslim today, or a Jewish person back in this day, or any person back in John's time, to be all in like this, you have to experience something amazing, right? You have to be like, know or experience a truth that is like beyond you, right? To be willing to forsake your entire way of life, you kind of have to experience Jesus in a miraculous, life-changing kind of way. And that's kind of how the early church grew. Now, understanding that context, if you experience Jesus in a miraculous, life-changing, paradigm-shifting kind of way, but then you forsake him, but then you leave this faith, what you're doing is you're denying Jesus at this much, much, much deeper level than people would be today. And so perhaps John, I mean, we assume this is correct, right? If someone denied Jesus at this time, that was kind of maybe permanent, right? Because they're forsaking Jesus in this extreme kind of way, right? Because they had experienced him like that. Now, again, I don't think it's up to us to label people. We don't need to think about labeling people. And maybe there is the context of this time, it was important to do that, right? And I recognize that. And it's still true, right? People who deny Jesus, maybe they are antichrist back then, even today. But for us today, I don't think we should read this passage and be in fear of antichrist around us, right? Now, we should be wary still. We should be wary that like there are antichrist among us within our church, even, right? Within our communities. But I think being wary is just more in the sense that we don't put our trust, our hope in people, even if they're Christian, proclaim to be Christian, or they're leaders, they're pastors, whatever. But we should be wary. But our hope is in Jesus alone. That's how we're wary. We understand that this reality exists, that people like this exist, but we can put our hope in Jesus alone. And with that, I don't think we necessarily even need to fear becoming an antichrist either. This passage is not a warning to be afraid in a sense, but it's an exhortation to keep on going back to the truth of Jesus and walking with Jesus. That's what he says here in verses 20 and 21 here. He says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One and you all have knowledge. He says, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but you know it and there's no lie. And because no lie is of the truth. He's exhorting the people he's writing to say, hey, you're okay. You have Jesus. Keep on abiding in him. And that's the exhortation for us as well. We don't need to live in fear of Antichrist around us, and we don't have to necessarily worry about being Antichrist ourselves. But what we focus on is Jesus. Keep on walking with Jesus. Keep on growing in our knowledge of Jesus, our intellectual knowledge, but also our experiential knowledge of walking with him day by day. Antichrist, the Antichrist, that's a reality. They exist. They're around us, and that's okay. But for us, we have Jesus. Let's not deny him, but let's keep on walking towards him and with him with our lives. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you that we can walk with you, that you are gracious and you are good. And we pray that we will continue to walk with you and continue to grow in our knowledge, intellectual and experiential knowledge of who you are, God. Won't you work in our hearts, Lord? Help us to love you, Lord, and to know you in a much deeper and deeper way, God. And won't you work upon our hearts? We recognize that there are people, that this world runs counter to you, but we live with hope because we have you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.